Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Council of Elrond. On today's show, we're going to be recasting the actors of the Lord of the Rings movies. Dave and I have separately thought of some other actors who could have played the roles of our favourite heroes of Middle-earth. And now, on the show, we're going to find out who the other has recast for each character. So strap in and get ready for an alternative version, or maybe the multiverse of the Lord of the Rings.
What if?
Cast it into the fire!
So welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Council of Elrond. On the show today, we're going to do something which is in some ways a continuation from last week's episode. We were inspired by one of the questions on our Ask Us Anything episode, and we thought it deserved its own dedicated conversation. The question was sent in by @DakinSchultz on Twitter, and it reads, "If you had to recast at least one character from Lord of the Rings, who would it be? Who would you replace them with and why?" Now, this got us thinking about lots of options, and we decided that it might be fun to not only recast one character, but to do a full recast of all our favorite Lord of the Rings characters. This was harder than I expected, as it's so difficult to imagine anyone playing these iconic roles other than the original cast, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'd also love to hear back from you guys. So let us know either who out of the two of us had better choices, or go ahead and do a full recast and tag us in it on Twitter or Instagram, and we'll be sure to retweet it or share it on our social medias. As always, you can find all our social media links in the podcast info section, along with our Buy Me a Coffee account, where there you can be the Sam to our Frodo and sponsor us the price of a cup of coffee. But of course, that's only if you want, and we are just delighted that people keep coming back to listen to our silly little podcast. Also, guys, just a quick announcement, which is that we may have a problem in the next couple of weeks with delivering our weekly podcast to you guys, because I, Johnny, am going in for a surgery and I will need a couple of weeks to recover from it. And so I don't know how easily it will be to do any more recordings and to do the editing on these episodes in that time. So it's a possibility that we'll be able to keep going, but it just on that off chance, I thought I would like to let you guys know at this point.
Yeah. And everyone send in your best wishes for Johnny, because he needs them.
Send me love.
Send him all the love.
Thanks, guys.
Never the ring will seek to corrupt the hearts of lesser men, but you are strong, and our need is great.
Let's get into it, Dave. How did you find this process? Was it fun? Was it stressful? Did it make you contemplate the very fabric of our universe?
Yeah, it was very, very stressful. I think, you know, I had some nice ideas, but there were some that I just could not recast. Well, I did in the end, but I found Aragorn.
Wait, you didn't do it?
I didn't do this. I didn't do my homework. Aragorn and Gandalf particularly. And I think actually going through this made me appreciate Viggo Mortensen's performance even more, because I don't know why. Oh. I always kind of thought, yeah, he's really good and whatever, but like maybe he's, I don't know, for some reason I actually did not think he was amazing as Aragorn until now. I was like, I can't, no one else could do what he did. Like,
yeah, do you mean that you thought it's probably something that any kind of leading man of Hollywood could do?
Not only that, I felt that, but I also felt like maybe in some scenes he could have, well, not that he could have done a better job, but just that maybe there's a better actor out there that could do his scenes. But just, I was looking through pages of actors in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s and whatever, and I was like, none of these can portray like the sadness and the...
It's interesting because now that you say that, just yesterday I was watching like a question and answers with Billy Boyd from years ago. This is, I think it was from like 6 or 7 years ago, this video. And they were asking him different questions about the Lord of the Rings. And they asked him, they were asking him about like Sean Bean. And they were saying, what's your favorite Sean Bean death? Like in any movies. And he said, definitely his death in the Lord of the Rings. And so when he was actually reading the script for that scene in the movie when Boromir dies, he said that that script brought him to tears, and he actually cried just reading the script.
Sean was crying.
No. Billy Boyd was crying. Oh, right. Sorry, this is Billy Boyd was talking about that scene with that between like Sean Bean and Viggo Mortensen. He said that he like cried reading the script that like Jackson and Fran Walsh and Philippa Boyens had written, And he said that they were around at Peter Jackson's house with Philippa and with Fran, and they were all reading it. And he said he like started crying just reading it. And he said like the way it was written was beautiful. But then he also said if you don't have the top quality actors playing that scene, it just becomes very two dimensional, and you don't feel the emotion of it as well. And he said that just reading it was emotional, but then when he said he actually was there on set watching the performance of Viggo and Sean, he said that it was just more than anything he was even prepared for. Yeah. So it was really cool hearing him talking about that.
I'm not surprised, because that scene is gut-wrenching.
Yeah, and you've seen some movies before where there's, you know, the sad scene and you just don't feel anything in it. And that's probably what Billy was talking about there, where you've got like actors who aren't at that same level. Yeah. And they just can't, it's just, as he said, it just feels very two-dimensional.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to describe it, that you just don't have that extra depth, I suppose. So yeah, we all love Viggo and we love Sean.
Yeah, Sean in that scene is just amazing. Like everything between, like, just feeling sorry
for my brother, him, but like he's my captain, my
he's
king.
Also like struggling to breathe, and he conveys that so well, and it's just, you kind of feel, oh, it's such an awful death at the same time. It feels like a real struggle. Yeah,
and you know of course as well that I've said it many times, I've said it on this podcast many times, that is my favorite scene in the entire trilogy. Yeah. that just, that scene, that dialogue between Viggo and Sean is my favorite part. It has been since day one, and it still gets me every time. But anyway, that's not what we're here to discuss today. So we should probably move on. Exactly. I'm nearly in tears just now.
I do not know what strength is in my blood, but I swear to you, I will not let the White City fall. Nor our people fail. Our people. Our people.
So let's talk about what we're going to do today. So what we have decided to do is we're going to recast the 9 characters from The Fellowship, and then we've each thought of a few other characters who we thought it would be worth mentioning, but neither of us know the characters that the other person has gone for. So we know that we're going to do the 9 Fellowship characters, but then after that, I don't know what other characters Dave has chosen as well. And we're going to just do, I don't know, 3 or 4 extra ones each, and we'll see who the other one has gone for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, do you want to kick it off, Dave? I think we should maybe I'll say the character, and you can tell me your choice, and then we'll go over it back. So, let's start with our leading man of the Fellowship, which would be Aragorn. Who was your recasting for Aragorn? I know you just said that this is tough for you, but let's hear your answer.
Well, because last week in the Ask Us Anything episode, I think I went for... Oh, no, sorry, I didn't give out Aragorn's name. I think it was somebody else. But
so before we actually kick this off, we already answered one question, which was to recast one character in last week's episode, which was Ask Us Anything. And we both gave one answer on that. I think, well, for me, I've changed that character now to another person as well. So we're going to have a new answer, not the same one as last week. And you've done the same thing. Okay, cool. Right, very good. So, Aragorn.
All right. So for Aragorn, I ended up landing on Jamie Dornan. Do you know that Scottish actor? Mm. The guy from Siege of Jadoville, which I think he's really good in, because he kind of, like, everyone knows him from 50 Shades of Grey and whatnot, so that's not what I'm thinking of him as. More his, like, rough edge in that movie. I think he's a great actor. He's also in The Fall, which was a nice BBC miniseries. And, I don't know, he has a really good range, and he can have that, like, scruffy Aragorn beard, rough
important
ranger look, but he also looks, like, he looks really well done up and, like, kingly and royal, so... The description of Aragorn is actually a shaggy head of dark hair flecked with grey, and in a pale stern face, a pair of keen green eyes. So Viggo was perfect for the role. That's why I found it so difficult, because that perfectly describes Viggo Mortensen. But I think the next...
Where did you get that description from?
That's from the book, from Tolkien himself.
Oh, right, okay. I wasn't sure where you just pulled that out of. That's cool.
Pulled that out of my arse.
So pulled it out of your arse. Very good.
Yeah.
Riders of Rohan! What news from the bar?
Good choice. Good choice. That's a nice one. And as you said, it is difficult to think of someone for Aragorn because they need to look kingly and they need to look, you know, like that epic leader. But then they also need to be able to portray the role of, I've just been, you know, crawling through briars for 4 days and I haven't, you know, I haven't been in water for a month. And so, it's difficult to play them both. So as we said before, kind of like leading actors of Hollywood, leading male actors of Hollywood, you think of a few different ones and you think, oh, a lot of people should be able to play this role of this character. But I agree with you. It was actually kind of tough to think of. Like, if you think of people like Brad Pitt, I was thinking, oh, you know, Brad Pitt's a fantastic actor. He's got a great range and he's got that regal look. But I don't know if he's got that kind of scruffy look of going through a jungle.
I did think of him in Troy, but even in Troy, he's very beautiful looking.
He's too beautiful.
He's like a god in a chair.
Exactly. He's too damn hot. Yeah. So I couldn't go for Brad Pitt. So I eventually went for Hugh Jackman.
One of my thoughts as well. He was actually my first thought.
And was he? And like, because I think, especially in his most recent movie where he's Wolverine in the movie Logan, he's proper like beat up in that movie. And, you know, he's got like scars on his face and he doesn't look as, you know, let's not beat around the bush. Hugh Jackman is a hot man as well. He's a good looking fella. But he definitely is able to play that role where he's kind of been a bit beat up and a bit scruffy. And he's, you know, you see him a lot wearing like a beard as well. So we know that he's got that look down as well. And again, incredible range as an actor. You know, he can do so many different things. You know, we know that he's a fantastic singer and he can do Broadway type shows. And then he can also do the emotional things. He can do the heroic things.
That's right. Singing Aragorn.
Yeah, he can sing. He can do that little that song after Aragorn's coronation. Yeah. So he's got it all. So I think that was my choice for Aragorn.
Yeah, great choice. I had him written down. That was the first name that popped into my head. And it actually, there was a couple more names that followed it up, including Henry Cavill. And I just thought he'd be really good. But then I decided...
He's too hench.
I decided against both of them for the same reason. Yeah, too hench. I think Hugh Jackman as well is also massively ripped. But Henry Cavill is a different...
He is, but I think sometimes he can kind of like... I think like... I don't know. Something about Hugh Jackman. He can kind of keep it under wraps as well a little bit. Like as in when he's been in things like... What is it called? The Greatest Showman? Is that the name of that movie? The Greatest Showman.
It's true.
You know, he's always wearing like, you know, maybe suits and kind of things like that. So you don't really see his like his
rippedness.
Muscles just bulging. Yeah.
You don't see his bulges.
What's the noun for being ripped?
Yeah. Repartedness.
His riptosity. Yeah. You don't see that. So whereas I think Henry Cavill, like if he's wearing a suit or he could be wearing...
he just looks like a muscle.
He could be wearing a poncho and he'd just be like, you know, bulging out of the side of the poncho.
That's a huge poncho. if I was a director, I really think I think Henry Cavill, he's got the face, the look, and he can portray that emotion really well. So I would be like, Henry, you're gonna have to starve yourself for like a couple of weeks before you're on set.
Yeah, you're gonna have to stop eating those steak sandwiches.
Yeah.
The bat is dead. Bury it. Consider this mercy.
Right, so our next character that we're gonna move on to is Legolas.
Oh, Legolas. Okay, this is another kind of left field answer, I think. But the upcoming star, do you know Timothy Chalamet? Or Charlemagne?
The guy who's going to be in that Dune. He's going to be in, I think he's in like two movies that are coming out this October.
Could be. I know him from The King and Lady Bird as well. And I just think he's young. So he's kind of got that timeless face. And also just like really clean, kind of feminine face, a little bit like Orlando Bloom back in the late 90s and whatnot. And he also has those gazing eyes. And I think if I was just to swap Orlando Bloom out for anyone else, it would be him. And just the fact that I feel like he's going to be a huge star in the next few years and probably going to be like a household name.
Although I don't know how to pronounce his surname. What's his surname?
I think it's Charlemagne. Timothy Chalamet.
He's going to be a household name in the meaning that every household's going to be like, you know your man, Timothy something something. It's like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah, so, sure.
You know that
Timothy
guy.
Champagne?
We don't, exactly.
Yeah, but that was like when Benedict Cumberbatch was becoming a big name. It's like, exactly. Oh, you know, Benedong Dingerdotch.
Yeah, those Reddit threads that are like, Benderding Cumblumsum. And it's just like, everyone's just making up these terrible names.
Do you ever see him trying to pronounce the word penguin?
Yeah.
That's penguin.
Weird.
Yeah. It is weird.
Such penguins. A weird disability to not be able to pronounce one English word.
My guest today is Benedict Cumberbatch. Benedict Cumberbatch. Benedict Kemp. Benefit Lumberjacks. Benedict Cabbage. Benedict Cabbage.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so.
What about yourself?
Good shout for Legolas. I end up going for Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
I think, yeah, what a boss. Also, I think he's another person that's like, he just doesn't age. So I think he could be an
elf. That's true.
in real life. You know, he looks exactly the same now as he did like 30 years ago. So he may actually be a real life elf. So we're not really sure.
That would be so funny seeing him as Legolas with a big blonde wig and like no stubble or beard or anything.
Well, I mean, think back to when his like he was completely cleanly shaven in like The Matrix, and even his portrayal as Neo,
it's true.
And most of his portrayals are just kind of like he's very kind of, you know, as an actor, I've always thought he's kind of like just got away with one massively because I don't think he shows a lot of emotion in his face.
That's true.
And I think that's kind of what you want for an elf. They're not they don't really show much emotion in their face, and I think for his roles, he's very kind of
stiff.
I don't know. He's very stiff,
yeah.
And but like that can be a good thing in particular roles. So that was good for when he was like Neo. It worked really well because, you know, he wasn't like a normal human, I suppose. He just kind of had too much going on in his brain.
I feel the same for John Wick as well. He's just
You
just feel like he's not normal. It's like he's on the spectrum a little bit, but it works to his advantage.
No, exactly. And I think he fits a really particular mold. And so I thought, he'd be kind of good in this one again because you don't imagine you're an elf and you've just been around, you've been living for thousands and thousands of years. And then you're a
just
man,
like Keanu Reeves.
Like 30 years old and you go up and speak to an elf. You'd probably imagine that they wouldn't be normal. They'd probably be weird. Like, you know, they'd have every right to be weird because they've been around for thousands of years.
And they wouldn't probably show much emotion because they've seen it all. They've nothing phases them. They wouldn't get overly happy to see anything and they wouldn't be overly sad because they've seen everything really, really happy and everything really, really sad. So,
and they just don't have any wrinkles in their faces. So you can't really see the emotion. You can't see if they're frowning or not because you're just like, was that a wrinkle? What's your like daily skin routine?
Elrond's five head. So that's different.
Yeah, exactly. That was different.
Got plenty of wrinkles there. Yeah.
Exactly. Loads of room for extra wrinkles.
Gandalf, the ring cannot stay here.
Right. So our next character for you, Dave, is the character of Gimli. Who did you go for?
All right. This one I love because I think once I thought of it, I was like, this would be perfect. He wouldn't be the same as John Rhys-Davies because John Rhys-Davies brought that kind of comic element to it. But I went for Jason Momoa. Because I just think, first of all, it would be hilarious to see him as a little tiny dwarf.
Again, similar to John Rhys-Davies, like a huge man being like portraying this dwarf.
But like, first of all, the no Scottish accent. I know it would be sad to miss that Scottish accent, but he already has a beard. We all know what he looks like. He's grumpy. Grumpy, way more fearsome as a Gimli, and he'd be taken way more seriously and... I could just imagine him being a total badass in a Gimli helmet. I don't know. I think as soon as I thought of it, I was like, I'd love to see him play Gimli in a movie. It'd be deadly.
Yeah, that's really good. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it a lot. That's cool.
Now, what about yourself?
Again, I've written down a couple of these, a couple of names for like most of these. I'm trying to find my favorite one out of them all now as well. So in this one... So instead of John Rhys-Davies, I've gone for someone with the same three letters in their initials, which is Robert Downey Jr.
Ah, cool.
don't know. I think it'd be awful funny if you had, like, as in just for like the kind of the comedic element and like Robert Downey Jr.'s timing in it, like when he's speaking and when he's like cracking jokes and just kind of sarcasm and things. I think he'd be a really funny Gimli. And I know Gimli in the books is not, you know, I know a lot of people are not really that happy with the way Jackson portrayed Gimli, and they kind of made him, they were like, you're making him into this kind of joke. And I don't think that Jackson made him into a joke. I think he provided a lot of comedic moments, and he was like, you know, a bit of a comedic outlet. And I think that's important as well in like a serious movie, that you get moments of little giggles and things to kind of contrast the serious emotions.
Yeah, like even Aragorn with the stew.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's in, there are small little moments that kind of release the tension, because there's a lot of tension that's been built up in these movies. So I think that's really important as well. And I think Jackson did it actually quite well with Gimli. He did it in certain ways that were mostly very respectful. Of course, there was the one time where he kind of just fell off the horse.
That's exactly what I thought of there.
Yeah. It was deliberate. And all that kind of stuff. And you're kind of going, maybe there he's like making him seem like a fool, but he's not. Like, I don't think he is. And also, he just also turns around and shows him as being this complete badass warrior, where he's outscoring Legolas at the Battle of Helm's Deep. So I think it'd be good to have that kind of a comedic actor with that comedic timing in that position. So,
and for,
I don't know, I think when I thought of Robert Downey Jr. with his helmet on there, like as if almost like a Tony Stark kind of character, you know, with a quick-witted dwarf talking back to some, you know, angry elves or to AMR.
And I did struggle with this recasting thing, because a lot of the time I was trying to swap like for like actor for actor. But then other times I was like, oh, well, maybe I should go towards what the book says. In this case, I kind of went for a more like a book version of Gimli.
Yeah.
Whereas you went for like swapping out. Whereas I did that a lot with most of mine. I was like, well, if I'm looking at Viggo Mortensen, he's like the perfect Aragorn who would also play the same way Viggo did, but also would just like slip in nicely. Yeah, so it was hard to do.
Exactly, appropriate to both movie and the books as well.
Especially for the Hobbits, I found, because I, you know, when you're picking a, we'll get to that later, but when we're picking a Pippin, I was like, yeah, it has to be a funny thing, like, you know, but
yeah. Oh yeah, I kind of, my Hobbits are a bit all over the place, but we'll get there.
Anyways.
Yeah, we were swapping out like for like, and I kind of went for, I went kind of for the movie style portrayal of Gimli in this one, so kind of a little bit of comedic element in there as well. But we all know that Robert Downey Jr. can turn on the acting elements when he wants to as well.
Yeah.
He can turn on that, you know, he's got that range as well. And, you know, he's not just there for comedic relief. He's a fantastic actor as well. So anyway, moving on from our initial trio of Aragorn, Legolas and Gimli, now I want to speak about the other main warrior in our fellowship, which is Boromir.
Yes. So for this one, in last week's episode, I gave Christian Bale as my answer, but I've changed it again, and this one I think will be more suitable. I went for Tom Hardy. So stereotypical,
ooh,
masculine,
nice
beefcake. And he also kind of has that dark side to him a little bit that you see creeping into Boromir, you know.
You need that.
Yeah, you need that. But I don't know, I think he's a really lovable character, and actor. You see in the movie Venom as well, he's got a much more lighthearted, goofy side to him. And I think that would be cool to see in Boromir. You didn't see much of that at all in the movies, but I think there is a big range there going from just like dark and mysterious from, what are the movies? Revenant and Peaky Blinders as well, where he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of dark in those movies, and then going to Venom where he's like much more lighthearted and fun.
Exactly, yeah.
So yeah,
that's what you want for a lot of these characters, like
range.
Have that range as well. But I think Boromir, especially
Legolas, because he needs a good range.
Heyo, yeah, archery pod. We don't get those too often.
No.
Nice one.
A diversion.
So yeah, but you need that kind of range for characters like Boromir. But I think Boromir was a difficult one to cast because you needed him to be kind of, be able to portray both good moments and not evil moments, but dark moments or moments of doubt for sure in the space of one movie. So that's, it's not easy to do. So yeah, that's a good shout.
Especially the way that Boromir plays, like a lot of people say this, I don't know, it's a controversial, but it's kind of like a gray character or a morally ambiguous character. So I definitely think Tom Hardy, no matter what, it, just those three movies I mentioned alone, he's kind of a bad guy in The Revenant. In Peaky Blinders, you don't know where he stands, where his loyalties lie. And then in Venom, he's a good guy or an anti-hero. So,
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would disagree with people that say that he plays a morally ambiguous character. I think
I would as well.
I think Boromir is very obvious where his morals lie, and I think he's the most human character out of them all. And like, you know, he actually has moments of doubt and moments
of course,
not being sure himself. And that's exactly. And I know what you're speaking about as well. But just to say that to our listeners as well, that and Boromir, he is, well, as in, it's weird to say he's the most human person, and he was also probably a very difficult one to cast, because it's difficult to find a character or an actor who's been able to show that array of emotions and that development of a character, or that, well, it's not a development, it's not an arc either, it's just like moments of being extremely noble, moments of showing courage, and then also moments of fear and doubt and almost begrudging Aragorn in some moments as well. But
he's actually the only human on the Fellowship. Like, Aragorn's a Dúnedain.
Human, yeah, complete human.
Yeah, Legolas, elf. We got an elf, a Dúnedain, a dwarf, a wizard, and four hobbits.
Yeah, exactly. Like, then the Aragorn. Aragorn's a man, but yeah, I can see what you're saying. He's like a souped up man.
There's a little bit of magic in everyone, isn't there? Like, even when you look at Boromir and Faramir, like, they both have
Noble, like they have royal blood.
But like, they also have that thing where they like both have the same dreams and all that kind of stuff. I know Faramir had more; he was more inclined to dream about like premonitions and stuff. But like, it seems like I like that about Middle Earth. It's not like this guy is magic because of this reason. This guy's magic. It's kind of like there's magic in everything. Like, some guy might dream about premonitions, or might have premonitions in their dreams, and some guy might, I don't know, might have a bit of fire coming out of their arse.
Yeah, Boromir and Faramir, they're just two John Lennons. They're just two dreamers.
Yeah, and they're not the only one.
They're not the only one.
I'm sorry, what are you saying, mate? You saying you're sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, no, write that down. He said, I'm sorry.
For my choice of Boromir, again, I'm trying to make this decision now as we speak, because I've got a couple of good ones here, but I think I'm going to have to go for one of my favorite actors, which is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Great choice.
I mean, again, I was thinking far left field, and I was very close to suggesting Denzel Washington for this particular position as well, which I thought would be another interesting one as well.
Yeah.
But I think DiCaprio, again, when we speak about the range and the emotions that we've seen him as the good guy in loads of different things. But then if you think of his portrayal in Django, where he's really, you know, you don't like this guy, and he's clearly a bit of a psycho. I think he's got that. He's got that range, and he can play all those emotions, and he can look good doing it too.
Oh yeah, and it would be a pure Leonardo DiCaprio thing to die as well. Yeah, I know everyone says Sean Bean dies in every movie, but Leonardo's a fan of a good death, isn't he?
He's a good dyer.
I just watched Blood Diamond there 2 nights ago, and I haven't seen it in years. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah.
And while I was watching it, I was trying to remember, does he die or does he not die? And I was like, it's pure Leo to just die at the end of this. Get everyone choking on their tears, you know?
Yeah, well, I think if I cast him as Boromir, I would tell him, just maybe steer away from your South African accent in this movie. And don't go for
He's
that
He's Rhodesian.
Is he Rhodesian?
He's Rhodesian or Zimbabwe or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of lies set around this dinner table here tonight, but that you can't believe.
Very good.
So that is the first four characters. Let's move on. Let's go to the leader of our Fellowship. So who did you go for Gandalf?
For Gandalf, it was kind of obvious when I landed on this name. Well, I had two, but I think I'll switch the other one to somebody else. So I landed on Liam Neeson. And I think we talked about it before when we were doing that like gender bend, where we were like, who would be a good Gandalf played by a woman? And we were like, maybe Judi Dench, but Judi Dench doesn't have that kind of mumbling, whispery tone. And I don't know, I think Liam Neeson, he's got that whispering narrator voice, And he definitely mutters a lot. Maybe a lot of people say it's because he's got an Irish accent and they don't understand him. And he refuses to change his accent for any movie. but he's definitely, he would bring wisdom and sadness and, you know, that kind of old age, charming look. You know, he can be very serious and sad, but he definitely has a twinkle and a wink in his eye.
What if somebody kidnapped Gandalf's daughter?
Oh, well then. He would come find him.
And he would kill them.
And he would not pass. Yeah.
I don't know.
Think he's a, I think he's a good one. I think it was the voice that I was casting more so than the actor itself. And I think he's both of them, really.
Yeah, I think that probably influenced my decision as well, thinking about the narration skills and the voice skills, because Gandalf, that's a big part of his character. And that's a huge part of what Sir Ian McKellen brought to that role as well, just the voice of Gandalf. And maybe that affected my decision as well. So I went for Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
As Gandalf.
Yeah.
And I think he would be an amazing Gandalf. So I think he'd be an incredible Gandalf. You can just imagine that scene where all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. You can imagine that in Morgan Freeman's voice, and you can imagine those same emotions that you feel when you hear Sir Ian McKellen saying it. And but just in general, I think that, you know, he's also got that kind of kind older face that Ian McKellen does as well. And you can just imagine Morgan Freeman again. He's, you know, we don't need to speak about his skills as an actor because he's proper top level. So definitely he would have been a good choice.
Yeah, and there is something very like good-willed and comforting about Morgan Freeman. Like, he kind of like Ian McKellen, anytime when he's like talking to Frodo and the nice music plays by Howard Shore, I just feel like anytime Morgan Freeman starts speaking, you're like, oh, everything is good with the world. And he just has that kind of aura to him. So yeah, that's,
and I was gonna say, like, shout. He's always speaking to a younger person because
he's so
always,
much older.
He's so old, like he's he's as old as Gandalf as well. He's
old
just
man
timeless.
Freeman.
So yeah, some good choices so far. I'm liking them.
And that's funny because Bilbo was played by Martin Freeman. So you could have Morgan and Martin Freeman.
The Freemans.
Together.
Andy Dufresne, who crawled through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side. Andy Dufresne, headed for the Pacific.
Right, moving on to the more... for me, I found this maybe more interesting and more difficult.
Yeah, definitely more difficult
to guess. So, moving on to the hobbits, let's start with our lead hobbit. So, Frodo Baggins. Who have you cast for Frodo?
Right. So, I went for Robert Pattinson, and I think if you look at it this way, Frodo, as described by Gandalf, was quote taller than some and fairer than most, with a cleft in his chin, perky chap with a bright eye, and then in the Fellowship. Chapter 10, Strider, it says, he was shy, young hobbit with thick, curly brown hair like most other hobbits and had a lighter than usual skin due to his Falahide ancestry through his brandy book mother. So I think that perfectly describes Robert Pattinson. And he wouldn't, obviously it would be a different Frodo to Elijah Wood because, well, different actor, but it would be played differently. And I just think, especially with the upcoming Batman movie, I think, again, he's going to gain a lot more respect on his name than, you know, those Twilight movies.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to get a whole new side to Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson, I should call him. But, like, I don't know. I just think this, after the Batman movie, everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, he should have been casting this, that, and the other. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I think he would be a terrific Frodo.
Yeah. Bob Pattinson.
Rob Pattinson.
No, that would be good. And yeah, I agree with you. I think when I first heard that he was playing the new Batman, I was like, oh, it's a bit strange. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I can see it. And I, you know, he's matured a lot as an actor since then, since his days in those Twilight movies as well. So we'll have to wait and see. And man, I'm excited for that movie as well.
He also has those big blue eyes. And he's, and in the Twilight movie, he's just very, like, I don't know, just staring out into the distance and looking pissed off and annoyed all the time. So it's kind of like Frodo.
I don't know if I ever saw them or if I ever saw, I think I saw the first one.
Did you not?
I think I saw the first one. I don't remember.
The first one. The first movie.
Was the first one when he like stepped out into the sunlight and he was like,
yeah,
look, glittering. This is what happens as a vampire. And he was like, my skin is made of diamonds. And yeah. I was like, that's not what happens to a vampire in the sunlight. This is bullshit. I think that was the moment I was like, right, I'm out of here.
Because I'm Batman!
What about yourself?
For me, for Mr. Baggins, I went for Heath Ledger.
Oh, very good.
And not a Joker level Heath Ledger, but like a, you know, early,
A Knight's Tale.
A Knight's Tale, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You, that kind of, yeah. That area, Heath Ledger, with his, he had those curly locks as well, so he wouldn't even need a wig, just dye his hair a nice deep brown. And yeah, he's got that, like in his early days as well, he had that really clear skin and like those big eyes as well. And I don't know, he's got that, he's kind of like soft spoken as well at times as well. He can do that role. And so I don't know, I think as we said, like, last week, in last week's episode, I went for Frodo as well as my main recast, and I went for that for different reasons, to kind of cast him more similar to the book.
Who was that again?
I said to go for someone that would be a more middle-aged man like he is in the book, so I went for Edward Norton.
Oh, that's right.
Who's in his, like, 50s. So here again, I mean, I don't know how old Heath Ledger would be today if he were still alive, but I'm thinking of casting a Heath Ledger, as I said, from kind of A Knight's Tale era, yeah, where he was a younger man and he was in his early acting days, and that's to go similar to the movie version of Frodo that we see.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that would be a nice little one. I don't have too many other reasons. I think just physical.
Great choice.
And he's I always liked Heath Ledger as an actor, even before he did one of the most iconic roles of the Joker, which was incredible. But I always, it's one of those kind of things. I was never much of a fan of rom-coms, and then, you know, when you're a young guy and it's kind of like, you don't want to admit that you like any rom-com, but then I always kind of liked that one of 10 Things I Hate About You. That was one of those kind of guilty pleasures. I was like, this movie isn't actually that bad.
And if you're looking for range, you can't find a better actor for it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Brokeback Mountain.
Or just a better actor in general. You've got some pretty hard hitters in there with like Leonardo DiCaprio and Hugh Jackman. And how many Oscars does your cast have?
Actually.
No fair.
Mine's got quite, I think you've gone for a lot of like the kind of up and coming. Your man, Timothy Champagne, or whatever his name is. And, you know, you've gone for him. You went for Jamie Dornan, and you've gone for a few, like those names that are just kind of creeping up. I'm going for like, if he hasn't got at least 2 Oscars, he's not on my list. So
yeah,
we all know Keanu Reeves has about 6 Oscars, right?
That's true. And also, who's your Gimli again? Robert Downey Jr. There you go.
Robert Downey Jr.
I don't know if does he have any Oscars, but he's been in plenty of Oscar movies.
Yeah, they're all big names, so it's hard to steer away from the big names as well.
I know.
So, and yeah, for my next one, they're not going to be getting any smaller, these names. So, Heath Ledger, I'm happy with that choice. I think he deserves a place on my list. So, next one on the list, our trusty gardener, Sam. Who have you gone for Samwise Gamgee?
Samwise, I went for Tobey Maguire. So this is probably one of my bigger names, and I just think if you put a couple more pounds on him, he's already sweet and loved by all. He's got that innocence, I suppose, that Sam definitely conveys. And he's quite corny as well, which I think would be perfect for Samwise. I don't really have too many other reasons. I thought of Toby and I never looked back, I suppose. And I suppose I just thought of it now, but old Toby, it works perfectly.
Ooh.
He is old Toby now, isn't he?
He is old. Well, he's older Toby.
He's getting on it.
All the Hobbit rat.
Sure they all do.
Not to the same level of like, you know, Pippin and Merry, but sure, we'll come to that.
Why, have you gone for like Seth Rogen? All right.
That's kind of my train of thought. Yeah, so we'll get there in a moment. damn, I have to change my answer now. I'm not going to do it at the end, but I was thinking of like doing Merry and Pippin as like Seth Rogen and James Franco or something. I was going to go for them, but I'll do something different now. So for Sam, again, I had a couple for this one, but I think in the end, I'm going to go for Robin Williams.
Oh, right.
Now, when you think Robin Williams, you just think comedy. you know,
yeah.
Mrs. Doubtfire and Genie, things like that, like, yeah, yeah, the Genie from Aladdin. And just as his stand-up comedy was incredible as well. But I was thinking a more kind of Goodwill Hunting, Dead Poets Society kind of Robin Williams as well. Again, just this kind of, you know, in Goodwill Hunting, he plays a therapist, this kind of older, this kind of, almost like this father figure.
With a beautiful beard as well.
With a glorious beard, yeah. Mm. And that makes him even seem, I don't know, more fatherly. When he gives Matt Damon that hug in like his therapist's office and he's like saying like, you know, it's not your fault, whatever. And Matt Damon just breaks down crying. I was like, oh man, I want to be in Robin Williams' arms, enjoying that hug. Like he put on a bit of weight for that role as well. And that's the main role that I'm thinking of. He was a little bit heavier, you know, he had a proper belly on him there and he was giving a nice big chubby man with a beard hugs to chubby to Matt Damon. Hugs. So that was I could imagine Sam as that, like, it's like whenever Frodo's like having a bad moment, just come here, give me a hug.
Yeah.
It'll all be okay. He'll support him. He's got that like a therapist's advice as well. I think Sam was pretty much like being
Frodo's therapist.
Therapist to Frodo, like when he was trying to make his way through Mordor and stuff. So
yeah. You can imagine Robin Williams giving that speech as well. And when it shines out, it'll shine out the clearer.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you can imagine him eat like being obsessed with potatoes as well. So
oh yeah. And like he'd definitely have, I'd love to see Frodo and Sam like on their travels and then he does a little bit of improv or something, picks up a potato and he's like, you know, the way Robin Williams just had his moments of just stupid.
Yeah, he just find any sort of like a jumping off point where he'd just be like, what, a rock? Well, from this rock. And he's like, starts some comedy from like just random things around him. Like,
yeah.
Oliphant? Well, I thought that. And you're like, how are you coming up with this stuff? You're not human.
Yeah.
Robin Williams is a great comedic genius. And he is, again, another, that's two in a row that I've had that are huge actors that Oscar winning. He won an Oscar, didn't he? I'm pretty sure he did.
He must have. I'm sure he has. If not, he definitely got. Yeah, no, I'd say he has. I'd love to know what role he got an Oscar for.
Yeah, I'm not too sure now, actually, now that I say that. But like, just thinking of those movies where he's this figure, like in Patch Adams as well, is a great movie where he's just like, you know,
the comic relief, you know, doctor, I suppose.
Comic relief, but then also just like he's so loved by those children. Yeah. And he's just, he's trying to, you know, he's a bit of comic relief, but again, it's such a sad movie and they're in such intense situations and he is just completely their rock in those situations. And that's what I was kind of thinking for when Sam is just a rock for Frodo and like he wouldn't have gone anywhere without him. So Rob Williams, another fantastic actor that we lost too soon, but let's move on.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Hang on a second. Whoa! Does it feel good to be out of there?
So of our final two pairing from the Fellowship, we've got Pippin. So who did you go for Pippin?
So like I said earlier, Pippin for me, even though maybe not so much from the books, but in the movie he has to be kind of funny. I went for Andy Samberg because I think he's got that boyish charm.
That's a great one. Oh, I like that a lot.
I think he's...
Damn, that's a great one.
Like I was trying to think of funny actors, and if you think of like Ryan Reynolds or Robert Downey Jr., like they're funny and those kind of guys, are like Jason Sudeikis or one of them, but they're kind of like sarcastic and like they're too clever. They're very hilarious and smart, but like I think Andy Samberg, obviously he's a genius in his own way, but like he's kind of hilarious in an innocent way and a lot of those things might just happen to him and he's very foolish. And but then again, he also has that emotional range. But the thing for me is he's childish, very childish. But he also looks like a child, and he's what, probably in his 40s now. I don't know. But I would love to see Liam Neeson and Andy Samberg being Pippin and Gandalf, like bouncing off each other, or maybe even Morgan Freeman. I could just imagine Morgan Freeman being like,
I
don't have time for this shit,
just shaking his head, looking like, at Andy Samberg. Like,
it's kind of like
Andy, like the kind of Holt and like Peralta and Holt. That relationship is class.
Exactly. So we've already seen Andy Samberg in that kind of relationship before. So a Pippin Gandalf relationship would be hilarious to see. So I would love to have Andy Samberg as mine.
Brilliant. Very, very nice.
Permission to take a selfie of the two of us, sir?
Permission denied.
Too late. Ah, that was a good one.
For mine, for Pippin, again, you got to think of an actor who's able to hold their own, but then also comedic relief and can be kind of stupid and silly at times. And I've gone for one of my, not just my favorite actors of all time, but one of my favorite humans of all time, which is Jack Black.
Oh, very good.
And
I thought you were going to say someone else.
I absolutely love and adore Jack Black as a human. Yeah. I think he's just such a genius. I think he's got everything. Like, he's got those different, as an actor, he can play different roles. But of course, his main attribute is his comedic ability. Mm. And I think, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I like your choice of Andy Samberg as well. That's a really good choice because he's funny, but he's also got that kind of childish and stupid sort of comedy. I think Jack Black is, maybe he doesn't have that same kind of childish comedy, but he can definitely do the stupid part of it as well. He can play of idiot kind of thing.
Yeah.
And again, as you said, watching like Liam Neeson and Andy Samberg, I think watching Morgan Freeman and Jack Black would be a great combination as well.
Man, we need to get these together. Like,
yeah,
there would be some great duos here.
The more I think about this, I'm just like, and actually, there's Jack Black has played a hobbit before. He's played Frodo.
Oh my god!
In a comedy scene where he's like
at the Council of Elrond.
Yeah. So if any of our listeners has not seen this video on YouTube, go check it out. It's Jack Black doing a parody of the Council of Elrond scene where he's Frodo and he's gone out the night before on the lash with the lads in Rivendell and
we
basically Elrond asked him to bring forth the ring and he's accidentally got it pierced into his dick the night before and he has to show it to the council and it's so funny.
It's hilarious. So
yeah, it's really good in only a way that Jack Black can do. So yeah, go check that out as well.
Yeah. And I think in the movie I'm trying to think of the name. Not Jungle Cruise.
Jumanji.
Jumanji. It's in Jumanji where Jack Black, he's not like playing a Pippin in that movie, but he's kind of maybe third or fourth tier actor. Not tier, but like he kind of has probably the least amount of lines, but I'd imagine him as kind of like a Pippin there.
Yeah,
he's
supporting actor.
Yeah, he's one of the supporting actors and he's just hilarious in that. And I think that would be quite a similar role to him if he was cast in Lord of the Rings as Pippin. He'd be kind of like the funny guy at the end that has just a hilarious one-liner and whatnot.
It is a gift.
You're damn right it's a gift. It's called the Prince Albert and it's my precious.
Mary, who did you go for Mary Adock Brandybuck?
Again, I didn't really realize this pattern, but I've gone for another kind of up-and-coming star. I don't know, do you know Evan Peters? You might know the name, but you know the face. He was Quicksilver in WandaVision.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, I remember watching him years ago in American Horror Story. I think he's in pretty much every season of that because that's a show that like changes cast every season. But he's in pretty much all of them. And but especially in this TV show that I've recommended last week, Mayor of Easttown, he plays a cop in that and he's got that childlike face. He's quirky but wise. I think if you just watch American Horror Story and WandaVision, he's kind of goofy and quirky and kind of like acts like a teenager, but his role in Mayor of Easttown I think was brilliant and he could definitely bounce off.
He
well
showed with a different side of himself.
Yeah, but he was still a little bit funny. Like he could definitely bounce off a Pippin, but he's got more of a serious side to him and he'd be a great duo with Andy Samberg, I think.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they?
That's cool. And again, yeah, that's one of the fun parts about doing this recast. I was just thinking of combinations.
Yeah.
As I said, I definitely thought of one of my first thoughts was doing Bad Boys and doing like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. I thought that'd be a hilarious like Merry and Pippin, and then I thought the stoner thing of like Seth Rogen and James Franco or something like that. But then so I ended up kind of going for just individual characters, but I thought they'd bounce well off each other. So I obviously went for Jack Black as Pippin, and for Merry I went for Adam Sandler.
And, oh yes, very good.
I think I think he'd be a great Merry as well. And again, maybe too comedic for the role that he plays. Obviously, he's not as funny in the movie, meaning Merry isn't as funny as Pippin in the movie. And I think that Adam Sandler is just, a hero of comedy. But yeah. I think that I would just, if I was casting it, I'd love to see those, like, as the two dum-dums of the group, just kind of, you know, bouncing off each other. And I thought that'd be hilarious.
That would be a great partnership, just those two actors as well, Jack Black and Adam Sandler.
I'd love to see them on screen together as well. Like, you know, Adam Sandler, just a hero of an actor.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with loads of his movies as a kid, like Big Daddy and Happy Gilmore and
Waterboy.
Yeah, so many other ones. Yeah. So, that rounds off our nine characters from the Fellowship. So, very, very good.
Very good.
The ball itself has its own energy. Its natural environment is in the hall. So, why don't you send them home?
Send them home.
You son of a bitch, Ball. Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Suck my white ass, Ball!
So we're going to just do a couple more. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, we don't actually have any stipulations for who we went for. Dave and I just thought up of other random characters and we said we would just list off a couple of them and react to each other's choices. So, Dave, who was your first on the list for your outside of the Fellowship characters?
Like, I did actually end up picking loads, but I'll go through one or two. One of them... For Arwen, I changed. Liv Tyler did a great job, but I think, I don't know why, but I think Megan Fox will be class for Arwen because I think she's more beautiful than Liv Tyler. I know, controversial, but she's just more attractive.
I agree with you. I don't know what it is for me. That's one of my things that I have against Liv. I don't really think Liv Tyler is as beautiful as people make her out to be. I think I actually watched Armageddon recently and I was like, she's a lot more attractive in this movie than she is in Lord of the Rings.
Is she in that? I've never seen Armageddon.
She's, I mean, it's a class movie. I hadn't seen it since I was a kid, but I watched it again recently and she plays the daughter of Bruce Willis and she's beautiful in that. She's very, very attractive in it. And in Lord of the Rings, I always think she's as good looking. And just if you read the books, Arwen is just supposed to be this, I don't know, just this incredibly glorious looking creature that you can't just take your eyes off. She's just so stunningly beautiful. So now again, of course, that's not the only quality that we want to go for as an actress when you're choosing them. But I think
I think that's one thing that Pippin's Liv Tyler. But also she's got the same as Liv Tyler. She's got the clear, pale features. But I feel like she looks young, but also quite old and wise. I think she could look quite regal. And like Frodo thinks in the books, quote, young she was and yet not so. And but also she looks quite queenly. Or I said that, regal and queenly. And I just think that compared to Liv Tyler kind of seems like a young girl in that movie. I don't know, especially her relationship with Elrond. She kind of just feels like the young daughter that is trying to make her choices and she has to depend on daddy. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good choice. I actually chose a character to play Arwen as well. And I went for Julia Roberts. And
oh, yes. Great choice.
I think she just has elf features as well. I think she's got that kind of like pointy nose. And I can imagine
ears.
And like, you know, she's in Peter Pan as well. Or not Peter Pan, she's in Hook. She plays Tinkerbell and Hook and she's got those pointy ears.
Yeah.
And she looks good in pointy ears as well. Yeah. And I mean she's stunningly beautiful
and a fantastic
actress as well. And and again, just to go off like physical features, I think for Megan Fox, like, I think, isn't she like a bit freckly though? Maybe she covers it up with makeup sometimes as well, but I think...
I don't know. I'm just thinking of...
Because Julia Roberts definitely got that like pale white skin, which is, again, very elvish in its kind of its form. So
yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just... what's the movie that... Is it something Body? Jennifer's Body or Jessica's Body or something? that that Megan Fox is in. I can't remember the name of it, but I think she does she play like a vampire in it or something. I think it's Jennifer's Body, and she's got the pale skin in that. So I don't know. Maybe that was what I was thinking of. And also, when she's in that movie Transformers as well, she seems quite pale and clear skinned in that.
Really? I don't know. For some, maybe like the saturation that Michael Bay puts on his cameras.
Well, gosh. Like,
it's ridiculous.
The whole thing's set in Mexico. Like.
Yeah. So for me, my memories of that movie, again, I haven't seen it probably since the cinema, is she was quite like, she's quite tanned. She's got quite sallow skin. And I thought like maybe she was a bit freckly, her complexion. But again, this could all be like some filter.
I think that's the filter, yeah. Because they make the kid in it as well look quite tanned. What's his name? I can't remember.
Your man, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, yeah. Like, he's quite a pale man, isn't he?
No, again, I think he's kind of sallow skin, that kind of Californian sun-kissed skin.
Fair.
So, who's next on your list?
Right, okay, I'm going to go for this one because it's quite fun. So I've got a couple for Gollum.
I've got like about three for Gollum as well.
I've got three.
I'd
say we have the same. I'm going to read out the first one that I think we both have, Macaulay Culkin. Yeah,
that's number one.
Macaulay Culkin.
I'd say nearly number two, we probably have the same one as well.
Jim Carrey?
Oh, okay, no.
No, I think Macaulay Culkin's the only one that like looks physically like Gollum, but I went for Jim Carrey as well. And I just think,
oh, that'd be very good. Yeah, that'd be class.
Can you imagine him doing all the like voices and all the different like the different mood swings and everything? It'd be class.
I definitely can. Yeah, he'd definitely be able to do that scene where he's talking to himself.
Yeah,
and he's in Me, Myself, and Irene, where he's got a split personality.
Exactly.
As well, so that'd be brilliant. Yeah,
that'd be perfect. And he kind of has the long, kind of shaggy hair that you know they could shave little bits off, and it would just look like.
Yeah.
A gross, decrepit Gollum. But I also for that had Rami Malek, who is, do you know the guy that plays Freddie Mercury? Or he's in Mr. Robot as well. So he's a really, really good actor. He's actually in the new James Bond movie coming out as the villain.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
And I think he would be another good Gollum, more for his like gaunt features. And he plays a psych like in the TV series Mr. Robot, he's completely psychotic in that, so I think he'd be brilliant.
Yeah, for Gollum, I also went for for that kind of a thing where you're kind of saying I think he'd actually be really good as the role, not just for like Macaulay Culkin. I went for Jared Leto.
And oh yeah.
I think he'd be really good in that kind of role as well, kind of psycho, like as he plays the Joker.
Man, you could pick any Joker actor to play Gollum, and
yeah,
they would slide right in, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that'd be good. I also went for Steve Buscemi, but that was just maybe not so much for his acting skills.
Just for the crazy eyes.
Don't worry about what happened. Time heals all things, except these crazy eyes.
Anyway, moving on. I'm going to give another female character, and I'm going to ask you if you've chosen her as well. I went for Eowyn. Did you choose any character for Eowyn?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay, well, I went for... No worries. I chose Emily Blunt for Eowyn. And
okay, very good.
I'm not sure if you've seen the movie with Tom Cruise where it's Edge of Tomorrow.
I have, yeah. Brilliant movie.
And
Groundhog Day, basically.
Yeah, basically Groundhog Day. But like Starship Troopers Groundhog Day where you're out killing aliens with massive weapons. And I think her portrayal of that role in it, she's such a strong warrior woman, and she's a leader as well. Like everyone's wants to follow her as well. I was like, that'd be really cool for an Eowyn character as well.
Yeah.
Where she's just out like on the battlefield, and she's an absolute boss with the sword.
And she's quite stubborn as well, and she's got that.
Yeah, she's just strong, and she's got those like leader characteristics. Yeah. You know? So I think she would have been really good in that role as well.
She's brilliant in those movies, A Quiet Place as well.
She's class.
Yeah, she's a class actress. I can't wait to see Jungle Cruise as well with her and The Rock.
Oh,
and
Jack
Whitehall. Looking forward to that.
Find me when you wake up. What? Come find me when you wake up.
So who's your next choice?
So I didn't have her, but I'm going to go for Grima. I went for Cillian Murphy, because he's got those gross kind of sneaky features. But I also went for Joaquin Phoenix, because I think he'd be just like quiet and a little touched, a little psycho, but just scary and
very good.
Yeah, him in the Joker as well. We've gone through all three Jokers. Well, not all three, but there's a few more.
Yeah, we've gone through them ones. Yeah, we haven't gone for Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, whatever that other guy's name is, Romero, can't remember. So I just think that would be a good one.
Very good. Good choice.
Would you like to see my mask? I use it in my experiments. Probably not very frightening to a guy like you, but these crazies, they can't stand it.
For me, let me see other ones that I thought were good. I thought for Saruman, I thought Al Pacino would be a fantastic Saruman. Can you imagine him there
a
having
great
this, like,
big ass? That heat.
Al Pacino would be just an incredible, that aura that he brings to every role that he plays.
Scary
and
eyes. Kind of
scary. Like, again, his voice. And we all know that Saruman, as much as we love Gandalf and as much as we think Ian McKellen's voice is incredible, Saruman, that's one of his main powers, is his voice. And we know that, like, he's got an entire chapter in the second book just called The Voice of Saruman because it was such an important thing. And I think Al Pacino's voice is like his speech that he gives in Friday Night Lights, where he's like talking about the inches.
The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going for all these just complete top tier actors.
Yeah.
So
you can see him with the beard as well. Like he wears the beard in a lot of movies, so he would look very good.
Any other quick mentions?
I'll give a quick mention for Elrond. I went Colin Farrell purely for the eyebrows. and then what else do I have? I think this one I kind of like as well. Faramir. I went for Pedro Pascal. And I think it's because, again, up and coming, he's going to be in the Last of Us TV series. He's obviously in The Mandalorian.
He's in everything now.
He's in everything, yeah.
He's a brilliant actor.
He's kind of more up than coming, isn't he?
Yeah, he's already up.
Yeah, if we're looking at the books, he's a good guy through and through, Faramir. And same as Pedro Pascal, I don't think there's a bad bone in his body, apart from when he's in Narcos. He's probably not great in that. But he plays a badass in most movies as well. Actually, sorry, I did realize that I had a Saruman. You said Al Pacino. I went for Bryan Cranston because that was a possible other Gandalf for me. But I think that obviously we've seen him play the evil or the good to evil role.
Breaking
so well.
Badly, yeah.
Also has a powerful voice. Insanely good actor, in my opinion. And
incredible actor.
Very complex as well, I think. Especially the range he has. Obviously, Saruman doesn't need that goofy range that Hal has in Malcolm in the Middle, but I think he would be brilliant for any role he puts his name to.
Say my name. Heisenberg. You're goddamn right.
Very good. And just to go off, after you mentioned Faramir, I had one down for Faramir, which I'm going to mention quickly, which was Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Again, fantastic actor. We've seen him in loads of different types of movies and loads of different roles and different, like, again, speaking just about range. But he's also just, you know, a Hollywood hottie. For all the ladies that love a bit of Faramir, Matthew McConaughey.
That's a great shout, actually.
To that, I say, all right.
The final one that I'm going to say is for the character of Bilbo. I thought it'd be really cool to see Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
I know the accent would be a bit strange, but
I think that'd be perfect. It's better than my choice. I put down Emilio Estevez. So. Old school.
So yeah,
Michael Caine. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Michael Caine. Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking of Michael Douglas. Michael Caine. Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, Michael Caine. You know, Alfred in Batman.
Yeah, very good.
I thought he'd be really good.
That'd be sweet.
He's just so lovely. Like, I love Michael Caine. He's just, every time I see him on camera, I'm just like, look at him. I just wanted to sit down and have a conversation with him and have a cup of tea.
Because Bilbo doesn't feature that much if you're looking at the movies. So every time it comes back to him, not Martin Freeman, what's his name? Whatever Bilbo's name is. What is it?
Ian Holm.
He steals the camera like Michael Caine does. And you just feel safe and happy when he's on
screen. That's a good word, safe. Yeah, that's nice.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
One more. I went for Théoden as J.K. Simmons. Stern, commanding, good-hearted, and shows an array of emotions.
Class. So, very good as well.
Yeah, I love
brilliant.
It.
Right, so we got a few extra ones in there, apart from the Fellowship, and some good shouts. That was actually more interesting, and that was more fun than I was even expecting.
That was fun.
Really, really good. Good job. And again, thank you so much to our listener at Dakin Schultz for sending in that comment and asking us to do this recast.
Thanks, man.
So we hope that you've enjoyed our full recast of, the whole Fellowship, and then some of our extra favorite characters from Lord of the Rings.
I don't have any answers.
That's it from us this week, guys. We hope you've really enjoyed that. And as we said at the top of the show, please get in touch and let us know which of our choices you thought was the best or the worst, or else, if you want, do an entire recast yourself of all your favorite Middle-earth heroes. And yeah, send it in to us, tag us in it, and we will be sure to reshare that or to retweet it on any of our social medias. And remember, you can find any of the links for our social medias in the podcast info section. And there you will also find the links to our Buy Me a Coffee account, where if you'd like to be generous and sponsor myself and Dave the price of a cup of coffee, you can do so at that link. So thank you very much to those who already sponsor us. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. So we hope you enjoyed listening along.
Yeah.
And until next time, we'll speak to you soon.